This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Pro Wrestling Show. And after a brilliant weekend in London with Progress Wrestling, over the coming days, we're going to be talking with the brand new Progress Unified Champion, the brand new Progress Proteus Champion, and one of the breakout stars of the Natural Progression Series, and some would say the biggest rising star on the British scene. Plus, we'll be talking about NXT coming to TV, all that coming up on the Pro Wrestling Show. Hello and welcome to the Pro Wrestling Show. Will Gavin, and I have John Jackson with me as well. There he is, coming in loud and hot.
I'm in transit.
Well, you always seem to be in transit while we're doing a show. Where are you today, John?
Well, I'm not in a northern city. I'm not in Los Angeles. I'm in Tooting, South London.
Where you live. There we go. Fine.
Look, all right, mate, don't give it away. Christ.
We've got so much. I'll give your full address out and I'll do it, and you'll just have to love it and deal with it. All right?
Yes.
We've had a brilliant last couple of weeks, and we haven't really managed to do many shows or put much on YouTube, etc., because we've been away and travelling and in the States and everything else. But what it means is basically over the next couple of weeks, people are getting an absolute content dump of brilliant stuff.
Please avoid using the word dump when it comes to something positive. But yeah, we're gonna dump our steaming content all over you.
Right, so over the coming days, we've got an exclusive interview with NXT superstar Keith Lee. We have got an exclusive interview with, spoiler alert for the next couple, the brand new Progress Unified Champion, Eddie Dennis. We'll be talking NXT UK with him as well, of course. We'll have an interview with the new Proteus champion, Paul Robinson. Lovely bird song in the background as I'm doing this. I'm enjoying that thoroughly, John. And
That's what you get from this podcast. It's, you know, Tooting gets a bad rap, but you know what? There are nice bits of common. You will hear probably some sirens in a minute as well. It all balances out.
And we'll be speaking with Tom Dawkins, a.k.a. Cara Noir. He joined us in the studio for half an hour yesterday evening. So that's all coming up over the coming days. Because everyone stayed with us for like half an hour, 45 minutes, we can't just do one like 4 hour long podcast. Plus, we haven't even done our reaction stuff from AEW, where I spoke with SCU for 15 minutes. So we've got loads and loads coming over the coming days. John's going to be spending an inordinate amount of time with me, whether he likes it or not. And so that's why right now we're apart and he's going to the gym to work off some of that frustration in advance.
I'm actually working off some of the 2.5 weeks in America, as you would know. I mean, we went to All Out, didn't we? And I don't actually think we went all out. We didn't pig ourselves. We were actually quite restrained compared to Royal Rumble 2017. There's that siren, by the way.
You made promises and you delivered. That's what I like about you, John.
Well, the thing is about Tooting, Will, is that there is one of London's most esteemed and busiest hospitals there. So, bear with me 1 second. This is the thing about being busy, is that I'm having to do things while I walk somewhere else. That's It's not how I wanted my life to pan out, you know?
Look, I think we're going to kick things off. We've got all these great interviews coming over the coming days. If you want to hear the Keith Lee interview now, it's actually already up on our YouTube page, youtube.com/C/Pro Wrestling Show. But you can go there and you can check that out now. Oh my God, what's that noise?
What I've done now is I've decided to take you off the headphones and put you on the phone because I think it's probably got a better noise cancellation, no?
Probably not, no. There's a lot more traffic noise now.
Bear with me.
God.
Oh, we nearly got the sound of a woman getting run over there.
Oh, maybe it is. Oh, that's fine. Right, okay. I should probably edit all of that out, but I won't, so people will enjoy it and deal with it.
At least we're real, Will. At least we keep it real.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I'll be away from a road in a second.
Keith Lee is available now. You can check that out on YouTube, and we will have that in podcast form coming for you. We will. I think we'll go back and do an all-out review as we build up to AEW TV. Plus, Al has got a really big exclusive interview coming this Friday that's AEW-related that will tie in together with the SCU interview and a little AEW special next week. So, what, 2 weeks away from that debuting on TV now? We'll also have coming up for you all the reaction from this weekend's Progress show at Ali Pally, those three interviews there. So, you know, there's going to be a good 4 or 5 podcasts coming out over the next 10 days or so. So, do keep an eye on the feed, keep an eye on the YouTube channel, on Twitter, where we'll be putting lots of videos up. Content galore, Johnny. Content galore.
It's particularly good if you're going on a long journey, because, you know, you can download all of them, save them, and then binge on them, you know?
Or, you know,
why not binge on our dump is what I was going to say.
Oh, God, you're the worst. Absolute worst. Today, because we chatted to Eddie Dennis for a solid 45 minutes, we're going to stick with this as our first interview we're releasing. So have a listen. It's going to be fascinating. We talk about... It was a big theme this past weekend with some of these scenes over recent weeks and months of shows not selling out necessarily up and down the country. Of honestly, I'm convinced you're at home and you're just playing like traffic effects off
I'm
a keyboard.
Not. Do you want to know what I've actually just seen a charity collector that I spoke to for a good 10 minutes yesterday before completely mugging her off, and she's just come over to me and waved, and I'm like, oh God.
Luckily you're doing a podcast, so
yeah. I'm a very charitable guy, just anyone listening, I already give to too many charities is the problem.
Oh yeah you can give to too many, that's a thing. Yeah, get rid of those chuggers and let's carry on with the show. I've completely lost track of where I was. Oh, Eddie Dennis. So there's been this kind of ongoing conversation about the quote-unquote death of Britress. And I think, John, honestly...
Mate, I'm walking down a different road now, hang on. So I've just walked into a school trip. Oh. Hang on, I'm walking off the main road now, right there.
I'd have rather done this in the gym while you were on the travelator, or what do you do in the gym? I wouldn't know.
The travelator. Yeah, what I do when I'm in the gym is I recreate the 90s TV show Gladiators, just on a travelator. Right, I'm walking off the main road now, so all that noise will dissipate.
Some people are going to be annoyed and frustrated about this opening. I think it's the best we've ever done to a show.
Hey, look, at least you've got the vibe of South London.
Right. The rumours of the death of Britress, which I think have been greatly overstated, particularly if you saw the Natural Progression series this past Sunday. You know, Veit Muller, Gene Money, Cara Noir, The Ojmo, Danny Duggan, Scott... who else was in it? I've tried Scotty Davis. I'm going to do Scott. This. Just Scott. Just, hashtag just Scott. But everyone had a fantastic showing over the weekend. Dan Maloney. I'm definitely forgetting at least one person. But
there is one, isn't there? I can't think of the other one is.
What was fantastic was that it was an unbelievable weekend at the Natural Progression Series. On the Saturday, there were wrestlers who have been with Progress since Chapters 3, Chapter 6, going right back to the beginning, who were talking about it as one of the best Camden shows they've ever seen. And the decision to move to it being a full-time, one-day event, I think, is absolutely brilliant. Malik, how could I forget Malik? The brilliant Malik who came on our show.
The guy you chatted to for most of the most of Sunday at Alexandra Palace as well.
The Proteus Rumble. Now I feel dreadful. And look, you know, Malik, someone who went out in the first round but got a please come back chant because of how good his performance was. The decision to kind of include guys like Danny Duggan immediately in long-term storytelling in the way that we've already seen Ojmo doing so, it was a great show that showed the great young talent coming through. And we talk about that with Eddie Dennis. And then also the fact that on Sunday, we got Eddie Dennis winning the Progress Unified Championship. The first time he's held the top singles title in Progress Wrestling. And doing so in a way that I think John genuinely surprised everyone in his way he the way he interfered with the main event between Volta and David Starr.
Absolutely, and I think it's been a long time. We all like an actual genuine surprise as opposed to one of those ones where you've read online that so-and-so is backstage type thing. And you'll hear what he says about the lengths he went to not be seen and not sort of let the cat out of the bag. But yeah, to have a genuine surprise like that. I mean, I was so surprised that I was actually indulging in some vegan chicken nuggets at the time. Heard his music and had to run back into the arena. I thought I was safe for a minute. I was like, well, this match will go on for a while. And of course, at one moment I chose to go and stuff my face, all hell broke loose. But yeah, it was nice to have a genuine surprise. And I mean, a lot of people claim that, oh yeah, no, I thought that might happen. But I think on this occasion, more than most, they're lying.
So let's hear from the new Progress Unified Champion, WWE NXT UK superstar, Eddie Dennis.
Delighted to have in the studio with us the brand new Progress Champion. Eddie Dennis is with us. How are we doing, Eddie?
Yeah, pretty good. I've had worse weeks, that's for sure.
we chatted a little bit on Sunday after the show when you came up immediately afterwards, but with a few days to reflect on Sunday night, how are you feeling about the whole how the whole reveal went and the reaction and everything?
Yeah, I feel pretty good. I was pretty stressed in the weeks and days and hours leading up to it because there's a lot of different opinions and how you're gonna put something like that together. But in the end, the way it played out wasn't exactly how I'd envisaged it, but it was really close to how I'd envisaged it, and I was pretty happy with everything. I think some of the adjustments that we made on the day probably added to it. So yeah, I was really satisfied with it. As I said, I think I said on the brief interview that we did on the day, I've sort of given up guessing which way the audience is going to react and just hope for a reaction. And it was pretty loud in there. Mm-hmm. People were reacting. So if they're reacting with cheers or they're reacting with boos, worries me less than just that they're reacting.
Yeah, I do think that's key. And actually, it's funny because we've just had Tom in Cara Noir, and I'd almost forgotten about what a surprise that had been earlier in the night, because the joy of wrestling is when you, even with how smartened up people are nowadays and with all the stuff on the internet and everything else, it's when you get something that is a genuine. I think I heard one person afterwards claim, I had thought to myself, what about that contracting he'd had? But
yeah,
honestly, I was bought in hook, line and sinker.
I mean, we did everything in our power to make it a legitimate surprise, like to a point of I didn't tell anyone, you know, like I had friends who came to watch the show who I got guest lists for, who I had to tell them I am appearing on the show. I'm not advertised on the, they're not like diehard wrestling mm-hmm. fans, so they would have never guessed it from my description, but I was like, I am appearing on the show. I'm not scheduled to appear. Please don't have conversations about me in the audience. And they didn't really understand. And I was like, it's a surprise if someone who follows the product overhears you having a discussion about me, it'll filter through the audience and it'll absolutely ruin the moment. Do you know what I mean? My girlfriend and my girlfriend's mum came, and like I told them, don't wear my shirt, because, you know, there are fans out there who know what my girlfriend looks like. And if they see her in the crowd, that's bad enough. If they see her in the crowd wearing my shirt, then all of a sudden people start putting things together.
Yeah.
And you just want it to be that shock. What was really cool is I ran a wrestling class with Wednesday. I ran a wrestling class yesterday at Knuckle Lock's gym in Brixton. And one of the trainees, so he's like in the industry, came up to me. And a few months ago, I'd ran a very best of Eddie Dennis night booked.
I saw
the pizza place in Lost Boys Pizza. And it was really low key. It was like this tiny little room that fits 20 people. So there's like 20 people in this room watching like five matches that had been voted by the fans. The best of Attack Pro Wrestling. That's what it was, sorry.
Put himself over the best of Eddie Dennis.
Yeah, I mean, I was heavily featured. Pretty much one and the same. Nah, I'm joking. I think I had one match. But anyway, so we had this evening, and then at the end of it, I did a Q&A, and someone had asked, there was 20 people in this room, you know, this tiny little room, and someone had asked about, had I thought about when I was going to cash in, when I was going to return to the indies, had I started thinking about stuff like this. So this is months ago. And I told, even though there's only 20 people in there, I was like, I've got to be honest, I really don't think I'm coming back to the independents because I've had two major surgeries in the last sort of 2 years. I want to protect my body. I want as much longevity in the WWE as possible. So it saddens me that the narrative that I had in my mind for me and Mark and this contract can't play out, but I need to look after myself. So I just don't think that story will ever actually be told. And he was in the room. So he was in that room that day. So he said that, like, he thought he would have sussed it out, but that, he just figured that there's 20 people in a room and I'm just doing a Q&A and I'm completely honest about everything as a rule of thumb in wrestling. So that totally threw him off the scent, you know what I mean?
Love that.
And he just had no idea. And then when I came out, he's like, I can't believe it. He lied to 20 people in a pizza place in London. But that's, you know, that's the level. Nowadays, I think there is a time and a place for a little bit of kayfabe.
Yeah.
And everyone wants to feel that.
And I think that's the balance. In this world where we can sit here and have a conversation where you're not playing a villainous guy that's just done, but you are just being Eddie Dennis, the man.
Yeah.
That's fine, but I know that you can. In fact, this is a conversation we had with Volta recently. We came and interviewed him before he won the title off Trav at Progress. Came and did it in that weird upstairs little interview room in Camden. And he said then, I've had brief conversations with William Regal, but it's not going anywhere. Da, 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 da. I spoke to him after he'd signed, and he just went, oh, yeah, I lied to you. And he's just very forward about it. And it's just like, yeah, just, oh, yeah, I lied to you.
Straight.
That's fine. Like, we don't, as a fan, I'd still want to be able to buy into it in that way. Because for those who didn't see it, you took Jim's place, you did a brilliant job of emceeing the night, and then at the end, you retired from the indies. I filmed the whole thing and was like, I bought in.
Oh, we fell for it.
Yeah.
I
was like, at the end, we were kind of like, I kind of want to go and shake his hand as he walks around, but we were on the balcony, so couldn't really get away with it. Hook, line, and sinker.
But then we talked on Sunday about how you didn't take public transport, you got a car. And then in the lift just now, because Eddie released a t-shirt the day after, you know, like the celebratory t-shirt, and he couldn't even tell the t-shirt guy. Because obviously, so if he told people.
So the t-shirt guy, I know a lot of people. Someone even posted, someone was like, how come you didn't have a Progress Unified title t-shirt to sell on the day like Walter did when Walter beat Trav? And the truth was, I didn't want to tell the t-shirt designer that I was going to win because I didn't want it to get out that I was going to be involved. So I'd had that design made months and months and months ago without the Progress Unified Champion bit written on the bottom. And then after I won on Sunday, I sent him a message and I was like, dude, you need to do me a favor. You got to adjust that design that you did for me, right? Progress Unified Champion. It just so happens the guy was like a really sweet dude and did it overnight on Sunday and sent it to me on the Monday morning so I could still put it up for pre-order on Monday while the buzz was high, you know? But that's the levels that you go to. You know, you can't even trust this person who's fully within the industry and designing t-shirts from you. Not that this guy's like particularly untrustworthy. You just, the more people that know, it's the same with anything, right? The more people that know, the more likely it is to get out. And I've realized that working with the WWE, for example, you would be amazed how few people know about big surprises when they're going to do big surprises. You know, even people who work for the company, you'd be amazed at how few people know something like Cesaro before it gets announced on social media for the last takeover. You'd be amazed how few people knew about Fergal at Blackpool. Do you know what I mean? You'd think that like people within the, like within the organisation at least, but even then, they try and limit how far things can get out. And you understand why, because it's not that people are leaks, right? It's just that one person tells one person who tells one person who tells three, and then it's gone, man. Then it's viral, because by the time you get three off, like let's say you get 3 degrees of separation, all of a sudden there isn't that emotional attachment to the person who confided in you, so then they just leak it, right? So like I can tell my girlfriend because she understands that it can't go anywhere, but I can't tell someone. But if she did tell her friend, it's not that her friend's a bad person, but that level of emotional attachment or understanding of how important it is just isn't there with her friend as what it is with Liana, for example. So she ends up telling her mum and dad, and her dad says it in work, and there happens to be a wrestling fan in work, and he didn't realise, and then boom, it's on the bloody Dave Meltzer's report or whatever it is, and ruins wrestling for everyone. Bloke obviously doesn't like professional wrestling because he's desperate to ruin it for everyone, isn't he?
I think for me it's like a balance though, because you've got that, and then at the other end you've got people like Mr. I almost don't want to name him, but the man we know is Jim, who goes so far the other way with it. He goes like, anything that's not kayfabe is ruining wrestling. Like, yeah, just right. Something as simple as a wrestler having their own name as their Twitter handle. He's like, nope. Can't do it. It's not the Cornette way.
It's hilarious.
I just realised by saying Jim, people thought I might have meant Smallman.
Yeah, that's true.
People get, people sort of, they just, it's one of two extremes rather than just being common sense. Do you know what I mean? Like, there was such, people were up in arms because Jordan Grace called it performance art, right? That's crazy. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Who does? I mean, I care, but
the label in the right way. Whether it's I care a lot about wrestling, but the label of whether it's called performance art or called a sport, I don't see why that's the most significant element of.
What's been the reaction to those who haven't been as positive about it? Because there has been, I think, a small backlash, but there's been a few people on Twitter, the usual kind of same Brit Res is dead types, who are going, yeah, well, that's, you know, rubbish ending to a great show. And I thought,
my social media was inundated with positive stuff because as a rule, I don't really sort of like spend hours scrolling through a hashtag. I tend to just look through my mentions.
You're not vanity searching.
No, I mean, I used to vanity search a lot, and I don't think it's good for your health as a professional wrestler, like genuinely. So I tend to just look through my mentions because there's a lot of people who are like congratulating you there, who you have like not enough of a relationship with to be like, to have their phone number or be like a friend on your personal social media account, but you have interacted with them at a merchandise table. You would recognize them if they approached you at a show. So I feel rude if I don't respond to that congratulations personally, because the only medium that they can congratulate you is through this social media, you know what I mean? So I want to respond to those people. So mine felt super, super, super positive. And then all I would read was the occasional thing of where one person would say like, I'm hearing loads of negative things about the end of the Progress show on Sunday. I personally thought it was great. And then like 60 people agreeing with them. So I hear in that like, there's loads of people who are unhappy, but actually not seeing any of those people that are unhappy with it. I mean, I hope that if, obviously selfishly, you kind of hope that if negativity lies, it lies because they're angry that it's another WWE signed guy who's got the belt, rather than they're angry that it's me personally.
It can't be about the story that's been told over the last 2 years. Because say NXT UK didn't exist and you'd done exactly the same story through your injuries, through Wembley, through to this, including the kind of reunion Super Strong style. And it's been a story influenced obviously by your injuries, but it's been a strong piece of storytelling.
Yeah.
So there can't be negativity. It must only be this nonsense kind of backlash, which I know I'm saying nonsense, I'm sat in front of you, but honestly, sat here, we said it before, with Tom earlier, that's a prime example of someone who has had more opportunity because more opportunity has been created over the last 2 years.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, the industry is changing, and we've experienced it in the United Kingdom probably more than anywhere else in the world, because we were the hotbed for unsigned independent professional wrestling, because we were the only wrestling hub which didn't have contracted options. So if there's three wrestling hubs, if there's North America, say there's four wrestling hubs, North America, South America, Japan, and the UK, slash a little bit of Europe, obviously with WXW and things like that, we're the only one, we were the one which didn't have any contracted opportunities. So obviously when contracted opportunities came to our island, it affected our scene more than anywhere else, because there's always been contracted opportunities in the United States, and there's always been contracted opportunities in South America, and there's always been contracted opportunities in Japan. We've never had it. So as far as people who live in the UK, there's never been exclusivity not for a long time, not my entire lifetime, you know? There's never been any exclusivity. So people, you could watch your favorite wrestler in a barn in Manchester or an arena in London, and they would literally be in a tiny hall on Thursday night and then a giant hall on Sunday night. Yeah. And that was a beautiful time, and it was really, really wicked, but it's changed now and it's evolved, and not necessarily for the worst or for the better. It's just evolved, And as you say, ultimately there has been a huge group of talent that have become contracted to various places, which has led them to be more exclusive, although not entirely exclusive for the most part, but more exclusive. But that's just opened up opportunities for people who were getting frustrated beneath them. Because a couple of years ago, when I do a seminar or something, when we were at like the peak of independent wrestling in the UK, let's say, say maybe 2 years ago or something like that, where, you know, it was as hot as it was going to be, but the NXT UK thing hadn't really happened yet. Maybe the World of Sport thing hadn't really kicked off yet. There weren't necessarily people like Marty getting snapped up by Ring of Honor, and, you know, maybe Sabre had done the Noah tour, but that's kind of it. You know, Willa just started maybe thinking about Best of the Super Juniors and stuff. So it was a real, real, real hot time for independent wrestling in the UK. I've completely lost my train of thought of where I was going to go with that.
You're talking about where you were when you had a seminar. You ran a seminar at that point.
Oh, I ran a seminar. And one thing that people would ask, because it was hot right then, right? It was really, really, really hot. People would ask, what's different about getting into the scene now than when you guys got into the scene? And I would always tell them, I'd be like, honestly, I think you guys have it so much harder, because when I broke into the scene was rubbish. So if you were a trainee, it was really easy to break out onto shows because shows were garbage. So as soon as you got halfway about, do you know what I mean? As soon as you got a little bit of something about you, you could get onto shows. There was nobody wrestling. Well, there was a handful of guys who were doing camps and stuff, who were, or maybe owned a ring, who were wrestling full time. But they were really, really, really thin on the ground. The vast, vast, vast majority of people in the UK were wrestling on the weekends and had a weekday job, you know? And as a result of that, the people who were wrestling up north were only wrestling up north, and the people who were wrestling down south were only wrestling down south, and the people who were wrestling in Wales were wrestling in Wales. People who were wrestling in the Midlands were wrestling in the Midlands. So there wasn't this group of really over, really popular, really polished talent who basically are going all around the country taking all of the bookings because they're wrestling full time like there was a couple of years ago. So there was loads of opportunity for people who were just breaking in to come through the scene. And a couple of years ago, before that sort of mass sign up, if you like, I can understand why fans loved it because the cards were incredible. Oh, yeah. But imagine being a trainee and you look, every show in the country had pretty much the same roster. You know what I mean? And it was a good roster too, you know? It was a really good roster. And if you're a trainee who's been doing it for a year or 2 years, I could see how you'd look at a progress card 3 years ago and an attack card 3 years ago and a fight club card 3 years ago and a chaos card and a PCW card and a Southside card and think, how am I ever going to get on these shows? It's just full of absolute, you know, really like polished acts, whatever their acts were, ICW card, you know, really polished acts. How am I going to get onto these shows? Well, now a load of those polished acts can't wrestle everywhere anymore. They can only wrestle in select places. So now there's these holes to fill. And in the last year, you've seen a promotion like Attack, which is basically built around me, Pete, Mark, Hitch, Gav, Chris Brooks, Mike Bird, these people. Now, all of a sudden, there's heaps of opportunities there. And you're seeing guys like Nico Angelo, who, you know, started training at Dragon Pro maybe a couple of years ago, getting an opportunity to have these breakout matches against Speedball Mike Bailey. Whereas before, if Bailey was brought in for a match at Attack, he'd be wrestling one of those upper echelon guys. Do you know what I mean? And Nico would be doing ring crew probably.
And you know, I think as much as, you know, I don't want to focus too much on it, I think it's that the idea of the big bad corporation that people had a problem with, because you're not hearing people say, you're not hearing people get angry at Ring of Honor for signing Marty or for signing Mark or Martina, or you're not hearing people being angry at New Japan because Will's moved there full time.
Yeah.
But I think if you went to that, even if you're someone who's a more casual indie fan in this country, so you're not going to a Schadenfreude and Friends show necessarily, but you're just going to progress shows. If you were at Natural Progression on Saturday, there was nothing on that card that didn't make you go, oh, the future's bright.
No, yeah, exactly. That's the thing. These guys aren't, it's not like the quality of the shows with regards to the wrestling has gone down. They're just lesser known names. But Karen was as good a wrestler as any of the people who are signed, you know, probably better than most of us. He's exceptional, you know, and there's a lot more than just Kara too. Pretty much that entire, you look at that entire Natural Progression, Malik's wicked, Danny Duggan's wicked, Scotty Davis is wicked, Gene is like this really cool, flamboyant character who's got his act dialed. Dan obviously spent a time in WWE, but now he's sort of like entirely independent again. He's,
and you forget how young he is as well.
Yeah,
he's like just 20, 21.
Yeah, he's still just a baby. He's an absolute killer. You know, I'm sure I've forgotten someone who was on the.
Hold on, I'm trying to remember. Who got through the eight.
Oh, Michael! I forgot OJMO.
Yeah, you know I was going to say.
Oh my god! Like,
we'll let him know because he's not the sort of person to.
Yeah,
you know.
The most breakout year ever. Like he's OJMO is. Hard to find a better example of someone who's benefited from people becoming contracted than the OJMO. Because I fail to believe, this isn't a knock on OJMO, because I think he's absolutely phenomenal, like a phenomenal wrestler. But if NXT UK hadn't made talent more exclusive, nobody could tell me that Andy Quilden would have chosen the OJMO to wrestle Pac in the cockpit or to wrestle
alongside, this is the one for me, tag partner for Jushin Thunder Liger on his last ever British show.
You know what I mean? There's no way he would have got those nods over some of the more established guys, but those established guys aren't available, so here's your chance, kid. And he absolutely smashes it, has incredible matches with all of these people. And yeah, that's as a result of these bigger companies sort of making people exclusive. Not to mention the vast majority of these people who've been made exclusive have spent the last decade breaking their backs trying to build this scene, myself included, and we
and
did
shoulders and knees, and we did
deserve a bit of a financial payoff.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? I think that there's so many people in the country who've worked hard enough to deserve to be able to pay their mortgage off professional wrestling now. You know,
honestly, the thing that still blows my mind: we were out in I missed Cardiff because we'd already booked to go to Chicago for AEW before that got announced, which is great. But seeing Jimmy Havoc talking about, yeah, it's quite nice earning enough money to like have my own place and be like that. And it's like, for someone who's put their body through what he has for 10 plus years, you're like,
if he didn't spend so much money on beer, then he could probably afford quite a nice place. Yeah. Something that Triple H said when he spoke to Alex on the sort of WWE conference call is that he sees NXT and NXT UK as being sort of something quite parallel, where the talent can move across. I think Toni Storm was what someone was asking whether she is now with NXT rather than NXT UK. Is there any plan for you to go over and do be part of these new live shows that they're doing as of this week?
None that I'm aware of for myself personally. Obviously, I'd be more than up for it if the opportunity presented itself. I think it's something which is going to evolve as the weeks and months pass. So ultimately, I think we have the second hour of NXT for the next 2 weeks going out live on the network. But then after that, obviously, NXT is not going to be live on the network. It's only going to be on USA, and it'll come onto the network on a delay. I guess as soon as SmackDown goes live on Fox on Fridays, 205 is no longer going to be streaming live on the network or existing for that matter. So all of a sudden, we're actually, NXT UK is actually the one weekly exclusive WWE Network in-ring product, original in-ring product, you know. So that puts more pressure on us to deliver a wicked product. It gives obviously us more opportunities, because now all of a sudden I think that you'd be, yes, the pay-per-views are probably their biggest draw, but I would say that the network has I would say that NXT has driven a lot of subscription to the network. So now that kind of falls onto our shoulders. And obviously, with the American NXT going to 2 hours, they've previously ran with that roster on 1 hour. So they've got to fill double the amount of television. So presumably there's going to be opportunities for people to go up there. Just like
get involved out of Florida,
yeah. And got just sort of just the same way as, you know, your heroes and your wolves have come over onto our brand, you know, and your Rhea's as well. So I think that kind of cross pollination will definitely be something that happens in the coming months and years. And yeah, hopefully, you know, lots of us get the opportunity to go over there. There's a heap of people who wrestle on that brand, who I wrestled on the independents, who I'd love to wrestle again, like Dijak, Riddle, Lee, all those guys I wrestled on the independents, Champ, I wrestled on the indies, like all these people I wrestled on the indies, I'd love an opportunity to work with them again on the platform of the WWE, and as long as I can stay healthy for a year. I see no reason why that couldn't happen.
This is the thing, we've been quite soapboxy so far. We've not really, it's been very kind of, you know, banging the table and trying to prove a point. But kind of on that for you personally, I mentioned that the injuries is something you said on Sunday had been weirdly fortunate, even though not.
Yeah, bizarre.
But for you now going forwards, to be clear, it's progress and WWE, and that's it for you for now?
That's it for now. When I did the farewell speech at Progress, I saw a lot of websites reporting that Eddie Dennis did a retirement speech from the indies. And I was like, I didn't. I retired from Progress. I left a defend indie wrestling flag in the ring, and I said I loved independent wrestling rather than Progress wrestling. So I understand how people interpreted it that way. But I never really outwardly said that I wasn't that I wasn't going to wrestle on any independents. As far as independent promotions go, those that have contacted me in the last sort of weeks and months, I have sort of told them I'm just not taking any dates at the moment. I want to get healthy. I want to get back into the swing of things with television. And then once I've got a couple of TV tapings under my belt and I'm feeling a little bit more confident, then maybe in 2020 I'll take stuff. But I want to be really selective with it. Obviously, the other thing is I want to be able to prioritize progress, at least while I have this belt, you know. I want to be able to do every single progress event. And I realize that might not be possible if I'm asked to go out to Florida for 2 or 3 weeks with the WWE, or if, you know, one of their events clashes with a television taping over here. But so long as things don't clash, I would love to be able to sort of commit to being on as many, if not all, of the progress shows while I'm the champion. And that becomes trickier the more other independent stuff you take. But it's like a never say never type thing. I do like a general manager gimmick at Pro Wrestling Chaos down in Bristol, and I do the commentary there. They've already announced that they're finishing up in February, so I'll certainly stay with them doing that job, which is a non-wrestling job, but I am a on-screen character, if you like, until February. And then I guess the only other one is Attack will always be home.
Mm-hmm.
So,
understandably.
So they'll, as and when, if something felt right for Attack, I might do something. But I don't want to be involved in like a concurrent storyline within Attack where there's an expectation for me to be on every show. But if it was like a spot appearance, I wouldn't mind doing that. But that's kind of the limit, I think.
With the progress stuff, you've been so ingrained from what, chapter 6, I think it was, you said, the other day,
and
you know, right through the FSU stuff and all the stuff with Mark and tag champs and up to Wembley, that phenomenal match you had there. What do you, when you have a surprise, something like we did on Sunday, it kind of leaves the story entirely open to you.
Yeah.
So have you got in mind how you'd like to take that belt forward over the next however long you end up having it for?
Yeah, I mean, there's certain guys who I'd like to defend it against. There's little narratives in my head. For me, probably until I leave Progress and ultimately probably Independence altogether, the most important narrative for me is the narrative of Mark. So now obviously we're sort of like this vicious duo together, ruling over Progress with the belt and stuff. So I just want everything to fit in with mine and Mark's narrative. So in spite of the fact that I have the singles belt, I imagine and like the idea of doing some tags with Mark and, you know, challenges for the Progress title. So there's a couple of those that I think would be cool.
But it's also feeding off that idea you were saying earlier, opportunities have opened up for guys. You know, of course it would be great to see you go against some of those guys you've had feuds with in the past, but there's lots of opportunity for that in NXT UK and NXT.
Yeah, I think I said this on Sunday, and it certainly holds true that anyone who's contracted to NXT or to the WWE piques my interest a little less at Progress, just because we've got quite a tight roster, so... And we run weekly television. So I imagine by the end of 2020, I will have wrestled most of those guys on NXT UK television. So there's less of an appeal of wrestling those guys and more of an appeal of wrestling the guys who I won't get to wrestle on NXT UK, at least for now. So, you know, Carr as a prime example, the OJMO is a prime example. Obviously, I'd like to run something with David following Sunday. Connor Mills, I think, could have a great year if he's given the opportunities that I think that he deserves. Even someone like Gene, you know, like I could see Gene doing like... He told me, I'm not sure if I meant to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway.
We'll check with him afterwards. We'll send him a message.
All the best stories start with this line.
It's not that exciting.
Okay. Apart from this.
I'll give you the scoop. He was talking, I think he was talking to Progress about like what they could do with him going forward. And he said that he'd like to see himself as like building into like a Progress's equivalent of Grado, you know, like a lovable character that ultimately is so popular that it becomes quite a serious character, you know, just because he's loved so much. So someone like that to me screams an opportunity to do a cool program with. And yeah, I'm biased. Any of the guys who are regulars at my training in Knuckle Locks in Brixton on a Tuesday night, I ran a couple of sessions over the summer in Hassle up in Enfield. Any of those guys who've come and worked with me, I'm going to want to work with them if I can. There's a whole bunch. I'd love to work with Spike, but obviously he's sort of a heel, so it doesn't really.
And managed to break his arm on Sunday, which we were saying actually from like Danny's perspective and the story they're telling might end up working really nicely for them because he's such a good talker. That
I tried to tell him that I tried to send him a message to be like, hey, look at me, you know, I hate to sort of blow my own trumpet, but an injury doesn't have to be a negative, you know. It can definitely work as a positive. You just got to get creative about it. Mm-hmm. You can just make narratives which a promoter might want to rush through in 6 weeks, last for 6 months. So, you know, you just got to be smart and make yourself invaluable in other aspects. And Spike's definitely a character that can do that, you know. He's a great promo. He's a great talker. He's got a really, really, really good idea of what his character is. You know, well-defined, rounded character. So there's any number of things that he can do on all of the shows he's on, you know. I think he holds the title up in North. Mm-hmm. I think he's the number one contender down in Brighton in Riptide. And obviously he's in, you know, a pretty hot program at Progress.
He's another one you were saying about OJMO earlier. He's another one who's just, that opportunity has opened up and he's just grabbed it with both hands. It's brilliant to see.
Of course, yeah. So I think that in all of those places, this doesn't need to be a negative. You know, they've just got to be clever about how they book it so that it just builds anticipation for an eventual match. I know that there's a big anticipation for him and Chuck to wrestle down in Riptide. And I think the plan was maybe to do it in October and they're not going to be able to do it now. But when they will do it, they'll just anticipate it even more. You know, that's how it's not just how wrestling works, how all sport works, right? It's how,
as long as you don't get to kind of a Pacquiao Mayweather point where it happens 5 years too late.
Yeah, like, so you've just got to, I mean, that should, it does happen in wrestling. You can think of a few examples, but
Undertaker Goldberg.
Yeah, I mean, I think the appeal was always Undertaker Sting, right?
But they did it once in WCW or something.
They can, like, you know, you can wait too long, but too long in pro wrestling is a long time.
It's only too long, like, because their bodies don't work anymore. Yeah. That's why it's too long. You know. It's not because of anything to do with who
Pacquiao
they are.
Pacquiao Mayweather
the story
was too long, but it wasn't that much too long. Like, it was still pretty good.
Yeah.
Like Chuck Liddell against Wanderlei Silva in UFC was too long, but it wasn't like too long. The fight still ruled. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're not
wrong.
It was a little bit too long, but it wasn't ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? It still did great pay-per-view numbers, and it was still super entertaining. Ideally you want it to be as long as Hogan Rock, right, where it's like the guy can still go, so it's still wicked, but it's long enough that it's an absolute fever pitch to see it.
As long as if tables are involved, they actually break. Then
I rewatched the match from Wembley.
I did before we chatted to, when we had Mark and Flash on, when we went up to the Coventry show. I rewatched it then. That was the first time I'd watched it since seeing it live. And it was still brilliant. But I mean,
it's just a shame that, obviously, In an ideal world, all those tables break. We run through what we had planned. We get to do the last spot, which no one ever saw. And it's spectacular and car crash television and really good stuff. And it didn't really go that way because obviously they didn't cooperate. What's sad about it is, if you don't look at it as a wrestling fan who understands that all of those are blown spots because the table should be breaking, it looks like two guys really trying to hurt each other. Do you know what I mean? Because these things aren't breaking and
we're just
throwing each other harder at things to try and force them to break, and we're climbing up higher ladders because hopefully this ladder will break it. We're just like escalating it, and It's kind of cool the way we escalated up to a crescendo, right, where the final one actually breaks. But because wrestling fans sort of understand what it was planned to be, we get it was five blown spots and one spot that went the way it should have, rather than it was they tried and they tried and they tried and they tried, and then the most dangerous thing that they did in the whole match finally broke one. Yeah.
I thought it worked. I personally,
I like that, like when you left. When you left the ring, that you did take it out on a few of the tables. And it wasn't on the actual wood, it was on the metal support.
That was genuine frustration. So I'm like a pretty chill person, but I get kind of angry when pro wrestling doesn't go the way it's supposed to go, you know? And I got back so melodramatic. I look back at it so embarrassed, you know, but I got backstage and I threw the contract across the backstage area and I was like, it's fucking ruined. 12 months of storytelling, best story of my life, best promos of my life, stupid tables didn't break. I'm like, kick it off, and people are coming up to me and being like, it was still great, it was still great. I'm like, it wasn't great, it was terrible. And like, furious and stuff.
Setting fire to the table.
In the room with my fan head on, rather than the report, the interviewer, etc., head on, I still really enjoyed it, and it was kind of the perfect build towards that final match as well.
We were sat with Keira Kelly and who else? Oh, Isla Dawn.
Yeah.
They loved it. So
They were very much Team Eddie throughout the night. There was a lot of chants
there
and
was
things.
So much.
So yeah, I didn't even mean to bring that up. It just kind of happened. But the key thing is that we go forward. We now have you and Mark's story continue in some format.
And we can have table matches against people, because we like tables don't break when we get thrown onto them. So we're unbeatable in a tables match, aren't we?
Have you won the Proteus title?
Yeah.
That's an easy way of doing it.
Table matches. Like, we're going to lose those. We don't go through tables. It doesn't work. You can throw us up a 20-foot ladder. It's not going to break.
Eddie, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you very much for coming in. We look forward to see what's next.
Sweet. Thanks for having me.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
That was Eddie Dennis, our long conversation in the TalkSport studios. John, I thought he was absolutely brilliant. Honest as usual, you know, gave detailed answer, put over most of the new UK crop. And you can't help but come out of that conversation feeling pretty positive about where the independent scene in the UK is right now.
Absolutely. And as you said earlier, he's someone that's been there since pretty much the very start of Progress. And, you know, as much as he is hanging around, which was a surprise after we were completely fooled by his sort of so-called Progress retirement, it's, you know, to have someone who has seen it all in that company be so sort of complimentary to the people that are sort of, I don't know, taking the torch from some of those people like him and Pete and British Strong Style, who are sort of moving on. And well, not moving on, but certainly not appearing as often. You know, it's a huge credit to them.
And when
we spoke to...
I was just going to say, I think those who are defiant over the this idea of the death of Britrest because people have signed a full-time contract somewhere, we've been saying for some time that it offers up opportunities and it's going to take time for people to emerge. Now we've got new stars emerging. And I think it was really interesting what Eddie was saying, that actually 2 years ago, people wouldn't have got chances on shows, because basically you'd go to any show up and down the country and you had this glut of guys who had got guys and girls who had gone full time with their wrestling but weren't under a contract anywhere, and so they were working every single show. So wherever you went, you got Eddie Dennis and Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate and Trent Seven and, you know, Hitch and Ginny and Tony Storm, and it was the same kind of group of people everywhere, which provided great shows but didn't offer up the opportunity to people. And now the cream is rising to the top. Those good people are coming through and grabbing those opportunities. And we'll have an interview with Cara Noir, Tom Dawkins, coming up in the coming days, which I thought was fascinating. And it'll just give you an idea of exactly how those opportunities have arisen for guys like him.
Absolutely. And the thing is, right, is you look at wrestling fans, and wrestling fans, as much as half, well, not half, but as much as everything's going to pot, you've got all those people that will sell out the ballroom to go and watch these, you know, supposed eight unknown, not unknown, but, you know, eight developmental up and coming people. And as Eddie Dennis kind of said, compared to what was developmental in his day, they are actually all more than ready to go. Most of them very experienced with several years under their belt and would, you know, pretty much get on any bill back in the day. So, you know, it just shows that the fans are certainly open to these new people. It's just a small minority of people that are saying that everything's dead.
Right. You go and get in the gym. Go and work your glutes or whatever it is you do. Oh, my God. Literally, what are you doing now?
Just walking past the building site.
Honestly, this is worse than when you went to whatever that random road? Northern town was you went to.
Warrington. Was it Warrington?
Yeah, it was.
I think it was Warrington. Jewel of the North. There is a cat, if you want me to try and complete the soundboard and
absolutely
get a cat meowing.
Absolutely. Fine. I'd like to finish the show and Views Go to the Gym and me to go and edit this, which is going to take me about 2 hours based on your rambling.
No, I'd just like to apologise to everyone listening. Next time I won't be walking to the gym.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Genuinely enjoy all the feedback. Please get in touch with us at Pro Wrestle Show. We are trying to do more with the YouTube channel as well, getting videos uploaded there as and when I can get them turned around. But thank you so much for listening. Rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. This has been the Pro Wrestling Show.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.